Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Hey, Bert's Big Adventure needs your help, but I think it's a win-win all the way around. Our kids get money to go down to Disney World and do all of our programs, and you get a brand new car. That sounds fair to me.
I think it sounds like a great exchange. So we are raffling off a brand new 2025 Audi Q3 from Audi Atlanta. Thank you so much, Audi Atlanta. They are donating this car for us to raffle off, and the tickets are $100 a piece. You can buy as many tickets as you want. In years past, there have been people who have bought multiple tickets who won the vehicle we were giving away. And then in years past, there were people who literally bought one ticket and they were the winning ticket and drove off in a brand new car. So this year, it's the Audi Q3 from Audi Atlanta. If you go to bertsbigadventure.org or The Bert Show, you can buy your $100 raffle ticket and hopefully win that beautiful car.
Every cent is going to the kids. bertsbigadventure.org. All right, so this is kind of a flashback, Tommy?
It is.
Yeah, this can be like a flashback inception because in this, this is where you call Chris or talk to Chris Martin of Coldplay, and he ended up hanging up on you. It was really weird.
I'm going to explain it in this thing, but I think there were some restrictions on this.
Because he was with Gwyneth Paltrow, and we weren't supposed to talk about the relationship.
I don't know. I don't think so.
But I don't think there were restrictions. He explained later when he called you back why he hung up.
Yeah, and here's when it comes to celebrity interviews, again, also, I love talking about this. I think that even when the PR people tell you what you can and what you can't talk about, I think if you're smart and respectful about it, you can... I see it.
Stop.
I see the yawn.
Stop. I'm just existing.
Well, it's not Taylor Swift. This is so boring.
You guys don't understand what it's like. I'm over here just waiting for spaces to jump in. And sometimes it's just a long winded explanation.
Let me know when Chris Martin's featured on a Taylor song.
I'm just not looking at you. I'm just focusing on this.
I'm leaving. What are you going to do? Fire me?
What are you going to do? Go take a nap?
All right. So when it comes to celebrity, I think you can lead the celebrity into the thing that the PR people said that they didn't want to talk about. But once they start talking about it, it opens up the conversation, right? But they've got to be the one that starts it. So I'm kind of in these interviews always kind of going in that direction and kind of dancing around the issues that they don't want to talk about, hoping they step into it. Because once they do that, it's green light. And I think that's what I was trying to do on this interview here with Chris Martin.
And the inception part of this is you're explaining this to the crew at the time. Kristen had joined the show. It was Jeff and Jen. And you'll explain to them, then you'll play clip of the call, and then you'll come out and say, this is real Bert, but
it's not.
It's real Bert 1, real Bert 2 is you here.
Yeah, that's where, because I was in studio, like, I remember Wendy being there, myself, Bert, and we were there for the OG, interview.
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out who we relived this for.
And this is explaining it to the whole show, I believe.
Okay, so this is Chris Martin hanging up on The Bert Show. All right, so let's get into Coldplay and Chris Martin here for a second.
And I think all of us are huge Coldplay fans, aren't we? I love Coldplay.
I would say that I'm not a huge fan, but I don't dislike their music either. I enjoy it when it's on, but it's not like I download their music or anything.
I respect their place in the music world.
I mean, they've sold 50 million albums. So they are part of musical history. This is a band that's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame eventually.
Yeah, see, my brother and I had a great bonding moment because we went to a Coldplay concert together and just had, like, the best time. So that band's always kind of held a little special place in my heart. I love Coldplay.
I mean, they're one of the hottest bands in the world. 50 million.
They're awesome.
Albums, right?
One of the best live shows ever.
So I was really confident going into this interview because I do a lot of research before we do most interviews. So I'll go on and I'll watch an interview with Chris Martin or listen to him. So I kind of know what we're going to get before the interview starts. And with Chris Martin, I knew this is a guy that doesn't take himself too seriously. And he was going to be able to answer any questions about his industry. I also knew that he was sensitive about answering questions about his family life.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that we were going to get a guy that kind of laughs off questions and knows how to handle himself in an interview because he's done thousands of them.
All right, so set the scene. This is Friday after the show, right?
Yep. It's Friday after the show. We're sitting around and we're waiting for Chris Martin.
We were jamming to some old school, old school music.
He was running a little late, but it was cool because it was Friday. And so we're in the studio and I'm mixing up like 80s and 90s jams in here waiting for him to call. We were all in a great mood when he called.
Yeah.
A goofy mood, actually.
Yeah.
I think I actually started the interview on a goofy level.
Okay.
Like we started talking about English accents and American accents. And then we got into some hard hitting like questions about Coldplay. And things seemed to be going fine. And then it just went wrong somewhere. And I think that he's so...
I was here to hear this.
I think he's so protective of his family that when he hears any reference at all to his family, he shuts down. He doesn't even hear the question.
Mm.
I think he just heard references to his family, and that was it.
But the thing is, there was no... restrictions on what we could and could not ask.
Anyway. If you're a new virtual listener, generally speaking, unless there's a lawsuit pending, when a PR person calls us up and they say, look, we'll give you J-Lo, but you're not allowed to talk to her about this, 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 and this, we'll pass on that interview because we don't believe just having the name on is a good enough reason for you guys to continue to listen. So it's got to have some substance to it.
Hmm.
We didn't get any of that with Coldplay. Ask them whatever you want, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're promoting their album. Like, he's everywhere right now doing interviews. I mean, and you know he's gotten those questions before he came to you.
And you think that he'd be able to... Well, the thing is, we didn't even ask him any questions that would either even be considered personal.
Nothing was inappropriate at all.
There was zero inappropriate about it. After the interview, we're all sitting in here and we're shaking our heads.
Well, after he hangs up on us.
We're all in here going, let's try to figure out exactly what went wrong here.
What happened?
Well, I asked a question... And then Wendy asked a question, then Bert asked a question, and then that's when we got the click.
Hang up. You were saying last week, I think it was on a CBS, that you hit the lottery with Gwyneth Paltrow, and you said that you went from a loser to literally hitting the lottery. What is the Chris Martin loser period? What did that look like?
Very similar. I was wearing pretty much the same clothes. I don't really know what happened. It was just... One lucky day. Yeah. I get a little uncomfortable with all these questions. I'm really sorry. I'm not very good at answering all these kind of things.
It's mostly the personal stuff, yeah?
I gotcha.
Well, no, it's cool, man. I'm just not very good at... I don't know how to answer it. I'm sorry.
I do know that Gwyneth tweeted the other day that your album was a masterpiece, but she sort of has to say that, right?
Oh.
Is that a totally out of line question? So we're sitting in here trying to figure out what we did wrong, and this has never happened in the 10 years we've done The Bert Show. The celebrity calls back.
Hmm.
He calls back. It's his people on the phone, and Jeff picks up the phone, and it's the record rep who says, Chris would like to talk to the person that just asked the offensive question.
Sure. Hold on. Chris Martin would like to talk off the air with the person who asked the last question about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Off the air?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and at this point, by the way, this is real, Bert. I'm crapping my pants.
I was going to say, were you scared?
Yeah. I'm so nervous.
His eyes were about to bug out of his head.
I don't know if Chris Martin and I are going to get into an argument because I felt a little bit like this one, as I did with Usher when we got in that fight 10 years ago, that we didn't do anything wrong. So I'm not ready to dig in, but I just want to know, what did we say, dude? Where did it go wrong? Hello? Yeah, this Bert. Yeah. I don't understand where we lost you because I didn't ask anything offensive. Now, I remember him saying I wasn't offended. But what he said was, I'm just not used to that many people asking me that question so quickly. And I was just not comfortable.
That kind of many questions that quickly?
Yeah, he's like, you guys were asking me so many questions, I just didn't know how to answer them.
He
never specifically said, I just don't want to talk about Gwyneth or my family at all. He was saying, there were just so many, it still didn't make any sense to me. He's like, there were just so many questions and I just didn't know how to answer them all. So I'm just not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable with the interview, is what he said.
Hmm.
I totally want to be respectful. I don't know what questions I was asking or we were asking that were offensive or you're uncomfortable with. And once again, he, at this point, this is live, Bert, he is trying to stress that he wasn't offended by any of the questions.
You think he was overwhelmed by the number of voices and that there was just like four people talking to him?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. But he's done so many of these. I mean, he hasn't done radio interviews before where there are three or four people asking questions.
True. But we introduced ourselves beforehand, so he knew there was four people talking to him.
Because he went through. He goes, yeah, he wanted to know each person that was in the room. And we all like said hi to him.
It is crowded in here sometimes.
Sure, no doubt. But so, I mean,
and when you're on the phone, like when you're, you know, when I call back from another city, it is kind of tough to get a word in. When a conversation's going on,
there was.
You think that was it?
I don't know, but if you're Chris Martin and you've done a million of these, can't
then
you just
maybe
say,
you're more used to it. Hey, apparently he wasn't.
Hey guys, one at a time or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just miffed because the last question I was asking you was getting into the album because she said it was a masterpiece and I... Yeah, and I don't... I'm sorry that you felt offended by the whole thing. Again, he keeps saying, I wasn't offended. Mm-hmm. By the conversation. It was, he kept reiterating over and over. It was kind of quirky. Like, I just didn't know how to answer the questions. I just didn't know how to answer the questions. Okay. All right. Yeah, me too. Okay, bye-bye.
No interview?
What did he say?
All right, so the last thing he says is, he didn't even request that we didn't run it. He's like, you don't have to play that. He goes, you don't have to play that. And he initially got on the phone. He goes, hey, you sound like a really nice guy, and I'm sorry to do this, but I just couldn't answer all of those questions.
It's very odd.
It was very odd.
Because he didn't even say in the interview, I'm uncomfortable answering that, or can you just stick to the album? Nothing of that sort.
And to give you like a little inside scoop, normally when we do interviews, everybody raises their hand. That way we don't talk over top of each other. And we actually did a really good job with this interview. Like, nobody was talking over top of each other. Like when we had, I had a follow up to my question. I mean, it was very methodical as to how we asked our questions. Mm. It was bizarre.
Strange.
It was bizarre.
We don't know if he was having a bad day.
Well, he had performed on the Today Show that morning, right?
Which got rave reviews.
Yeah.
As I was watching, reading up on all weekend, got rave reviews. People were loving it. I don't know if we caught him at the wrong time or he just heard the words Gwyneth Paltrow because there were like three or four different Gwyneth Paltrow questions during the interview. Nothing about what's it like to be married to her. There was nothing personal, but I think someone made a comment about doing a duet together. Somebody else on the show mentioned her in what context?
I was like, what is it like in the household? Are you both making music? Do you sort of have a competition going on between the two of you? Just something jokey.
He shut down. And then I asked that. And then I said the tweeting thing. And that was it.
All right. This is current day Bert Show right now.
The real. Real.
The real
live,
Bert Show.
Live.
Real Bert number two.
All right. So a couple of things there listening back to it, which I haven't heard for years and years and years. First of all, Tommy just came in and said this might have been right around the time where the rumor started that Chris and Gwyneth were having problems.
That's what I think was the problem. And that may have been like the last name he wanted to hear at the time during an interview.
And listening back to it, he sounds kind of exhausted. Like he didn't really want to be doing it in the first place. But also the question I asked was loaded. It was, it felt rude. The way I said it, it did feel rude.
Like, how am I supposed to respond to the fact my wife thinks my album's a masterpiece?
Yeah, and then I say, but she kind of has to say that. It's just kind of provocative.
He could have answered that, though, in a better way. He could have easily played that off as a joke, saying, well, of course she does, you know, or make some kind of joke about it where everybody in the room would laugh.
But I also could have, I didn't have to put the last thing on. Like, she has to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can understand how it was like poking the bear a little bit.
Yeah, because we didn't play the string of, you were like, Gwyneth question, Gwyneth question,
yeah. Oh,
Gwyneth
yeah.
question.
Okay.
There was
then,
like four
and
in
then
a row.
That was the head of it.
Yeah.
They announced their separation in March of 2014. And I don't know when this interview took place.
So all these years I put this on Chris Martin. It was on me.
You're the problem.
I'm the problem.
This is The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
We are 25 years into the first part of the century, the first part of the 21st century. So Rolling Stone has come out with a list of 250 of the best songs of the century so far. In the top 10, some notable mentions. We have Think About You by Frank Ocean, All Right by Kendrick Lamar, All Too Well by Taylor Swift, Crazy in Love from Beyonce and Jay-Z, and finally, in the top spot, Rolling Stone says that this is the top song of the century thus far. It's Missy Elliott, Get Your Freak On.
It's a great song. I don't know about the best, but okay.
Congratulations, Missy Elliott. Top song of the century thus far. We'll see what happens in in the middle half.
At least we knew that one.
Yeah,
there were some songs in the top 10 we've never even heard.
Was it 40-Year-Old Virgin where they have the scene where they're in the car together?
Yes!
And she's crashing all over the place?
I want some French toast!
What?
Have you ever seen that movie?
40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you really gotta
see
it.
It's with Steve Cantrell, a.k.a. Steve Carell, as we heard from Carl earlier. But it's a fantastic movie. That's where the iconic scene comes from, when he's getting his chest waxed and he screams out Kelly Clarkson.
Yes, I've seen that scene on TikTok.
But there is a scene in the beginning, and it's Judd Apatow's wife, Leslie Mann, who is in the car driving, and she has Steve Carell blow into, because she's had multiple IDs, and she's not supposed to drive, and multiple DUIs, and she's not supposed to drive until she blows into, like, a breathalyzer to allow her to work her car. So she has Steve Carell do it, and then she's driving, and he's, like, freaking out.
And she's hammered. She's hitting cars on both sides of the street.
Oh, my God. And she is singing this song at the top of her lungs. And then out of nowhere, she's like, I want some MFing French toast.
It's a really funny movie. Even at your age, you'll love
it. And that's what got it to the top of the charts. Thank you, Rolling Stone. Okay, Drake, his defamation lawsuit against Universal Music Group has been dismissed by a judge. If you remember this, he filed a lawsuit in January of 2025, not against Kendrick Lamar, but against Universal Music Group. He's alleging that UMG, by promoting Kendrick Lamar, Mars diss track Not Like Us, it harmed his reputation with false accusations, specifically implying that he's a pedophile. It all comes down to that line where he's like, probably gonna strike a chord, uh-huh. It's probably a minor.
Right.
So on October 9th, that would have been yesterday, a U.S. federal judge in Manhattan dismissed the lawsuit, basically saying that the lyrics to Not Like Us are quote unquote non-actionable opinion rather than verifiable factual assertions. In other words, in the context of a rap diss battle, a reasonable listener would recognize that the statements are expressive, rhetorical, hyperbolic, not literal claims about Drake saying that he is a pedophile. So the judge also pointed to the broader context, basically saying that this is a feud between Drake and Lamar and involved an escalating series of insults and boasts, making it unlikely that the average listener is going to take it as fact by just saying, like, it's probably a minor. So Universal Music Group, of course, is welcoming this decision, basically saying that the lawsuit is a total overreach against artistic freedom. Drake's legal team is going to appeal the decision, but we haven't heard anything from Kendrick Lamar. So we'll see if he comes out with another diss track being like, "You, why would you file that lawsuit? That was dumb." But in a really more lyrically masterful way.
You talk about a line, though, that is now baked into your mind. Anytime I hear, like, something referring to a minor, I hear it said in Kendrick's voice.
Yep.
His song. Yeah.
It's so good. All right. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
This is The Burt Show.
So I'm going to be real vulnerable with you guys here for a couple of minutes. And some of this is going to sound real crazy, but I am preparing for a spiritual crisis and a bit of an identity crisis here when this show is over. So I've told you guys for a very long time that, look, I grew up in an environment like most dudes my age in their 50s that were told by their parents, like, shut up, your feelings don't matter, just get through it, it's not a big deal, right? So that's what I grew up with. My dad, my mom, wasn't a lot of nurturing, not a lot of caring. Let me just give you one example that I was telling my therapist about the other day as we're starting to understand, like, some of the wounds that I really still don't have healed from my childhood. When I told you yesterday that I was in the house when I was 4 or 5 years old, when my grandfather passed away, visiting my grandma and my grandfather. He had a massive heart attack. It was loud, but I was curious at 4 years old, and my grandmother must have been on the phone, and we didn't have cell phones back then, so she's probably in the kitchen calling 911 or something. And my curious 4 or 5 year old walks into the room to see my grandfather there in terrible, terrible pain. And then going back, and it's funny how I can see this now, kind of going back into a position where he made that. What's the face that we were talking about yesterday?
Oh, that gaping and just like stare, the mouth slightly open, and you're literally watching somebody take their last breath.
It's jarring to see as an adult, but you can imagine as a 4 or 5 year old how that might freak you out, right? So my parents come. I remember going to my house, bringing me back to my house, and I don't remember much about the night. Here's the thing about my parents, man. Like, if this happens to Jimmy or if this happens to Asa, Amanda's son, staying with him, I'm comforting him. He's probably freaked out.
He's not going to bed by himself that night. I'll guarantee you that much.
I certainly did. You know, and you're comforting him. That did not happen. And when I remember my dad waking me up in the middle of the night telling me that my grandfather had passed away, and I'm trying to process it as 4 or 5 years old. I'm not exactly sure I think what death was, right? And then lights go off and he takes off. Nothing, right? So I'm only relaying that because that's the kind of environment that I grew up in. We didn't really acknowledge feelings, right? And I thought that was doing me a real service all of these years. And I used to pride myself on being able to compartmentalize my feelings and get through anything that I needed to, right? And I have done that. Clearly, we've been very successful here. My relationships, not so great in the relationship department sometimes. But as I'm learning more about myself and I'm giving myself now the space and the time to leave radio, which has been my identity my entire life. You guys, I've been performing for people since I was 18 years old. And here I am looking at this life where I'm not going to be getting up in the morning and I'm not going to be looking for content and I'm not going to be looking for applause online or ratings or anything like that. And this is all I have done. And while I'm really intoxicated by that thought, I am trying to be realistic about it, also going, this is a completely different dude that I'm probably turning into. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think I got the skill set right now to be that guy. Lucky enough, I've got the time to try to be the guy I've always wanted to be, but it would be foolish for me to say I have been one guy my entire life, and then when I wake up on the 25th,
yep,
I am going to be the most well-adjusted, free man, that everything is just so perfect because I'm not working anymore. It's ridiculous.
It makes sense that come after the show, you're going to have to seek validation somewhere. That's because that's just an innately built in you. This is, you've been seeking validation from listeners for 40 years. That switch is not going to flip on October 25th, like you just said. So there's going to be, and I hope you're prepared for this, some serious self-work over the next year to figure out who this new iteration of Burt Weiss is.
Well, yeah, I'm doing the self-work, and that's where I'm going with this whole thing. But, you know, now that you mention it, because you know how, like, when you do things a certain way your entire life, you just assume everybody else is doing the same thing. And here you are talking about self-validation and validation. Where do people get that from? I know it must sound like a really stupid question, but I mean, where's the validation come? Is it from your...
I think a lot of it has to do with your parents and the way they validated your emotions.
I mean, where do most people get their...
But if your parents are no longer with you, so because if your parents are with you and you have a strong, healthy relationship with them, then yes, I can see validation coming from there, from a spouse if you have a supportive partner. But what if you don't have a partner?
But isn't ideally, aren't you supposed to say, like, I don't need that kind of validation, that it should come from within?
It should come from within, yes.
I literally have no blueprint for that at all. In fact, it's such a strange... Now that you've brought it up, I'm kind of having a crisis because I'm thinking, like, what does that even mean? Like, there are people that are walking around that get validation out of, like, what?
Well, I think it's a self-worth thing. Like, are you doing the things that actually fill you up? Or is it just when you see a comment online that says, congratulations, you did a good job, is that what makes you feel like you have worth in yourself?
I'll tell you what has filled me up, the success of this show.
Right.
Right? What has filled me up? I hate saying this, but it's true. The validation from this show is what has made me the happiest. Seeing my kids healthy and happy and working their way through life, that makes me happy. I had something to do with that. But do I take as much validation in being a good father as I do being a good host? I don't.
Mm. All right, so... Ooh. When in doubt, when you don't know the answer, where do we go now?
ChatGPT.
Come on, Dr. GPT.
So I asked, if you aren't a performer, where do you get validation?
So just before you give us the ChatGPT answer, as performers, if you weren't, could you answer this question?
I think everybody gets validation from something. I just think it's what you find important. Like, I think we all got into media because maybe we were attracted to some kind of fame or power or something that you get from having a big platform. But I think other people get into other professions for similar reasons at the root, but maybe it looks different. Like, oh, you always wanted to be a doctor because you want to save lives and that makes you feel important because you have people's lives in your hands.
I can tell you that I never got into this to be famous. I did get into it to be validated.
Mm-hmm.
Here I was, a guy that was like 4'11", 85 pounds, and there weren't a lot of women looking at me. So somehow, some way, I thought if I was on the radio, somebody would find me attractive, and I was right. But I only got into it for validation.
But I mean, I guess fame, another word you can use for that is status, like having a high status. Like other people will respect me if I create something that other people think is worthy.
Right. Anyway, go ahead.
So ChatGPT thought I was trying to come up with a radio bit. Yes.
It knows you very well.
Yeah. That's a killer discussion question. Short, punchy, and cuts deep. Side eye emoji. You could take it a few ways depending on tone. For on-air use, blah, 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 or slightly more introspective. No. And then I followed up. No, seriously. If I get out of entertainment, where do I get validation? And this is what ChatGPT has to say. That's an incredibly honest question and one that every performer eventually wrestles with. The truth is, when you've lived in a world where your worth gets mirrored back to you through ratings, audience reactions, applause, or even social media engagement, stepping away can feel like losing oxygen, because that external validation becomes part of your identity. But when you strip that away, validation has to shift from external to internal, and that's hard work. It comes from things like mastery, doing something well just because you know you did it well, whether that's raising your kid, cooking a meal, or nailing a golf swing. Impact, seeing how you made someone's life easier, brighter, or better, even if there's no audience. Connection, getting genuine appreciation from people who love you, not your performance.
Mm-hmm.
Growth, feeling proud of yourself for evolving, not just achieving. But let's be real. None of that feels the same as hearing a crowd laugh at your timing or watching a show click. It's quieter validation, slower, more private, but often deeper and longer lasting. And then it goes, can I ask, are you thinking about leaving entertainment or just wondering what life would look like without it?
I am doomed.
ChatGPT wants the tea.
I am so doomed.
ChatGPT.
So right after the show, I'm going to San Diego for a week. And then I come home, do some trick-or-treating with Asa. Then I'm heading back on the road out west to go to Sedona. And originally, I was just going to Sedona because I told you guys, now that I'm traveling, I want to see things that are awe-inspiring. And Sedona doesn't take me out of the country. It's close enough to do, and it's supposed to be absolutely beautiful. But while I'm doing research on it, it's like one of the spiritual capitals of the world. So I started looking at health retreats. So for 3 of the 6 or 7 days that I'm going out to Sedona, I'm going to a healing retreat.
Oh, you know, that's what I did after my dad died.
I don't think I did.
Yeah. No, we talked about it.
Yeah. At Sedona?
No, it was in Arizona. It was in Tucson.
And what'd you think?
I went to this place called Miraval because I was in the place. Because you were trying to figure out who you are after the show. I was trying to figure out who I am without my dad.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went to Miraval and did several classes, did Reiki, did horse therapy, like, you know, the whole 9 yards. It was expensive, but it was so worth it. And it was like, it was completely solo. I went out there by myself. Did a lot of hiking, did a lot of yoga. The very first yoga class, I remember laying there, Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. She played that song and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? but I walked away, not like with a truer, like a full understanding of who I was going to be, but I walked away knowing this is going to be a process. This is going to be an evolution. This sucks, but I'm going to be okay.
So what you're describing is pretty much the same kind of thing I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm being set up with like spiritual advisors and, right? And practitioners. There's one session that I'm doing for 90 minutes that's all about abandonment.
Yep.
There's another one called an emotional massage. I don't know what that is. I don't even know if it's legal. I'm not going to ask.
Yeah, I took a class called Love, Loss, and Letting Go, which was very beneficial.
Here's a couple of sessions on inner child healing that I'm going to be doing. Healing your relationship from within. That one's 90 minutes. I wish it was 6 hours. So that's where I'm headed, man. I'm trying to find myself because I'm a little bit nervous about this dude.
Listen, it may feel really weird, but I remember when I did like my whole Reiki session with this like prominent dude there at this like healing resort. And he was like, now afterwards, I need you to go walk into the pool and dip yourself in and then come reemerge. And I'm like, you're a freaking idiot. And I did it. And I was like, oh my God, like that actually, I actually felt that.
Really?
This is The Burt Show.